5-1, Sabres roll the Devils. Beautiful second period for the home squad tonight as they scored 5 goals, all of them there, and cruise to beat the Devils by a 5-1 score. We welcome you here to 716 Food and Sport, right across the street from KeyBank Center and the official Paul William Belt Sabres post-game show. One of the best periods of the season on display tonight for the Sabres as they get 5 goals in the middle period, 5 different goal scorers, 2 of them getting their first career goals tonight in C.J. Smith and Lawrence Pilot, and it all adds up to a 5-1 victory tonight over the New Jersey Devils. As we welcome you here again into the postgame, I'm Brian Colziel. Coming up, we'll be heading to the locker room in just a few minutes. Paul Hamilton is on his way to the Sabres dressing room, so we'll get some player reaction from this 5-1 win tonight. I'm sure it'll be a happy locker room for Buffalo tonight after this win. We'll also have Phil Housley and his live postgame comments when he meets with Paul and the rest of the media. We'll, of course, bring you that live. All the highlights from this one, it was a fun second period, so we'll have Rick Jenneret with all his goal calls coming up here just a little bit later on the postgame. We welcome your phone calls. 803-0550 is the local number, 803-0550. Toll free, wherever you're calling around the world, it's 1-888-552-550. You can send me a tweet on Twitter at BrianWGR. If you want to text us, you can do so at 550-550. And then, of course, we'll update you on the night in the NHL, see where the Sabres sit in the standings as they improve tonight with their 23rd victory of the season, now 23-14-6. Good for 52 points at the moment, 2 back of the Bruins. But Boston is on the cusp of getting it done tonight. Actually, now their game has just gone final. So Boston has now moved 2 back ahead of Buffalo with 54. So we'll get all the scores coming up here. We're keeping an eye on Montreal and Columbus and the Islanders and all that going on. But, of course, we're here to break down and talk about you this Sabres win over the New Jersey Devils. What did you think of period number 2? And how about this? Paul Hamilton and I were talking about it during the second period. Not only was there 5 different goal scorers, but 14 different players on the score sheet. No one had more than a point tonight. No one had 2 points, to make that easier. 14 players on the score sheet of the 18 in terms of getting points of the skaters. The last time the Sabres had 5 goals in a period, you don't have to go back too far. Just March of last year, March 31st at Nashville, Buffalo had a 5-goal period there against the Predators. The last time the Sabres had 5 goals in a period at home, you do have to go back a little bit, back to 2009. So that's 10 years ago, November 28th. Of 2009 and a game against Carolina. So it's been a while at home since you've seen the offensive explosion. Now, we were thinking about, was there 5 goals scored in that 9-2 home win over Ottawa earlier this year, that Saturday afternoon game? The Sabres in that game scored 3 in the first and then 4 in the second and then 2 in the third. So not 5 as they were able to get tonight. But what you have to like about all the goals is that not only maybe did they get a little help from Keith Kincaid on some of them with him not being at his best, but they all came in kind of different ways, and they all kind of utilized some of the skill that we've seen. Skinner, his speed and his shot. Middlestat, his agility going to the net, going to the middle, and then following up his shot. Some good passing defense from Jake McCabe, and then him jumping into the play to receive a nice pass from Rodriguez. And then Pilot, the vision to get the shot through traffic. So a lot of good on display. 5-1 Buffalo wins. Let's get to the locker room. Here's C.J. Smith live with Paul Hamilton.
Kind of funny. Nobody else really knew he was in, so kind of celebrated by myself there, but felt good. Yeah, I saw it going.
Do you still get nervous that you never know what they're going to do at replay? How much confidence do you guys have to come in?
How into it, the way you played?
Okay, no C.J. Smith. Apologize about that. Hopefully we can get the technical difficulties straightened out. Smith getting his first of the season as we go back to the room now.
Yeah, I think just coming across and help and support for the D and Oki and Larry, and they did a good job finding me, and I think we did a good job playing really fast in neutral zone, and it helped out a lot.
Skinner and Eichel provided a lot of goals for this team, obviously, this year, but when you got that goal in the second, it seemed like you got everybody going. I mean, what did you see out there after you
You know, I I don't know. After the skin score, I think then we got, just kept rolling. I scored, and then we got a couple other big goals. And
all right, apologize again. C.J. Smith having some technical issues there with Paul Hamilton in the room, so we'll see if we can hopefully get that straightened out. Is Smith commenting there on that wild second period in which he was able to get his first career goal. And, yeah, he was saying there how he was the only one that was celebrating. The puck appeared to go in. The horn went off initially, but then it was to be. Back to the room. Here's Evan Rodriguez now live.
Yeah, that was the thing. I thought we played well in the first, and we just wanted to continue that momentum. And, you know, we got a few good shifts early on, and I think that led to us starting to roll over shifts, roll over lines, and, you know, ended up getting the puck in the net.
Evan, I don't think you could see Jake. Jake was going to the bench, and he looked up and saw you hit a two-on-one, then joined the rush. What happened? You take it from there, from your aspect.
So we made a great play, showed a lot of patience with the puck, and once he gave it to me, I kind of looked over my left shoulder and saw Caber, and as soon as we made eye contact, he started jumping because I think he knew it was going to come to him, and, you know, they actually had a pretty good back checker on that there, almost caught up to me, so I had to turn on a little bit, and, you know, he did a great job finishing it off.
That's a timing play, though, isn't it? You have to do that just at the right time, don't you? Pass.
Yeah. You know, you kind of got to just fake the shot and get the D and goalie to drop and the D to turn. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do there. And it worked out on that one.
Just the kind of problems you guys get when you work on just playing the simple game.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, we had a good first. Didn't get rewarded. And, you know, we've been having a little bit of lulls in the second. And I thought we came out strong, got a few good early shifts in, and then just rolled from there. We rolled four lines consistently and, you know, had good sustained pressure in the O zone. And, you know, when you tire teams out like that, that's when the goals start coming in, just having that repeated shift after shift O zone play. And, you know, we did get rewarded for it.
Was there frustration when you leave the first period? You played well, but you're behind 1-0.
I don't think so. I think we knew we played well. We knew we were getting our chances and they're bound to go in. I think that's what you have to make sure you're not doing. It's getting frustrated and, you know, you start gripping your stick a little bit when you do that, and just go out there, work hard, and just, you know, we got rewarded for doing that.
17 guys get a point in that second period. You've seen that kind of an outburst before where, like, everybody's basically getting, you know.
No, it was good. We had all four lines contributing. You know, a lot of ozone chances. It could have been even more in the second. So, you know, that's what happens. Like I said, when you get rolling your shifts over in the ozone and tire the other team, that's when you start to get rewarded. And I thought in past games we've been getting our chances, but we haven't had that sustained pressure like we had today.
Thank you, Evan. Evan Rodriguez is the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Evan Rodriguez with Paul Hamilton, and I would agree. They started to really tire the Devils out. Look at him. He's even saying it should have been even more in the second. And he's probably right. I mean, there were some chances there that they could have had some more. But Rodriguez and McCabe there, a real nice job to get that goal. Back to the room. Lawrence Pilot now live.
Good plays going down in the zone, and Rhino had a really good screen in front, and me and Risto made some plays at the blue line, so it was a good feeling.
Could you see any net at all when you looked up, or was it just try to get it through?
I mean, my first thought is always getting pucked through, and just try to get it on the edge of the goal all the time, and just trying to find those small spots.
You felt like you had a few close calls from the blue line so far this season. Did you feel like it was coming, that first one?
I mean, I just had to stick with it and stick with the focus. I keep finding that lane and keep finding the net and just trying to get it in there. So I think today was a good booster for me to get the first one, and hopefully it'll come some more.
Lawrence, was there confidence or frustration at the end of the first period? You had played a good period, but you came in here down 1-0. Was there frustration, or were you guys confident you could keep going?
I think we were pretty confident. We just focused on our game, and like, we were playing pretty well, and we just need to keep at it, and that's what we did in the second. I think we built it off the first period really well, so we just kept it going.
Coming into the game, do you guys really just want to keep it simple, whether it be crashing the net, just getting pucks on, and, you know, D-men joining the rush?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our game. Like, we keep it simple, keep it fast, and use our plays and our pace out there, and that's what I feel like we did.
We've hit a lot of assists. You were putting the puck on that. Did you feel close to that first goal?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple there, but I just kept focusing on getting it to the net all the time.
When you score,
Lawrence Pilot in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Lawrence Pilot. Congratulations to him and also to C.J. Smith. As two guys tonight for Buffalo end up getting their first career goal in this 5-1 victory as Buffalo rolls the New Jersey Devils. So we welcome you back here to 716 Food and Sport. Brian Colziel with you. We'll still have Phil Housley's live postgame comments coming up. Paul Hamilton will make his way over to the media room. And we'll, of course, get the coach's thoughts on this win tonight as the Sabres get their 23rd win of the season. They have a game on Friday up next in Carolina against the Hurricanes. Buffalo's next home game will be here on Saturday night against the top team in the Eastern Conference, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Amazingly enough, how the calendar goes, it's the last home game of the entire month of January. The next time the Sabres will be home after Saturday against Tampa, the next time they'll be home is in February. After this, after this week, the Sabres go out to Western Canada for the games with Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver, then a week off with the All-Star break, and then they go back on the road. All right, Carter Hutton now in the room. Here he is live.
Carter, how nice was that to get the little run support there? You get five goals, you play well in net. That had to be a nice one for you.
Yeah, it's good. You know, obviously having some trouble finding a way to win games lately, you know. And you know, I thought I was playing well, just missing a timely save here or there. And, you know, I thought tonight, obviously, we break through and, you know, score five is obviously huge.
You still had to make some timely saves. I think you had the lead. It might have been 2-1 or 3-1, and they had a push.
Yeah.
You had a couple of saves in a row. There was a power play then. So, I mean, you still had to make some big saves when it was close, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a tough first period there. You know, the guy goes off his skate and in. It's kind of a weird play. You know, I'm playing a stick, and it goes in off his skate. And just no real flow in the first period. And then, I thought in a second, just mentally staying with it, and I wasn't really called upon a lot, but you make a couple timely ones, and then from there, the guys take it over. And, at 5-1, we're pretty confident going into the third period that we can lock that down.
How confident were you at the end of the first? You're down 1-0 as a team, but yet the team played well in the first.
Yeah, it was good. It's one of those things, I think second periods haven't been great for us, so it's one of those things. We come back here in the room, and we know we played well. We obviously weren't up on the scoreboard, but we knew if we stick to it, things would go our way. And, we just keep working, and, obviously, we get some bounces, and guys were going in that hard and making some plays, and then from there, we turn around. I thought our D-man did a great job tonight of getting pucks in and out of the zone quickly, and they didn't have much time in the offensive zone there. And at the end, when it's 5-1, they get a few more chances, but, at that point, the game's kind of out of reach.
What's it been like to watch Jeff Skinner even without Jack in the lineup? He seemed to just create chances for
him. Yeah, it's great. Obviously, I'm really happy for Jeff. He's been playing great all year, and, obviously a chance with Jack out to really step up and show, how important he is on this team. And, and this is a big night for everyone to step up here, and, Jack's obviously our leader, and we miss him, but at the same time, there's a lot of capable guys in this room, and they showed that tonight.
Thank you, Carter. Carter Hutton on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. There's the goaltender, Carter Hutton. He picks up the win in the Sabres 5-1 triumph tonight over the New Jersey Devils. Our blue and gold locker report brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit fidelicare.org. Five different goal scorers all in the second period, and the Sabres win it 5-1. Up next, Carolina on Friday night. For all of our local affiliates, that's when we'll hear from you next as we say goodnight to you here. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship station here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, much more of the Paul William Belts postgame coming up, including Phil Housley's live postgame comments coming up next. 5-1 Buffalo over New Jersey. I'm Brian Colziel, live at 716 Food and Sport. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Recovered by Stafford. He lost it in front of the net. Backhand right on, and Kincaid made a fine save to take one away from Tage Thompson.
Tage Thompson, a very solid game tonight. He assisted on Skinner's goal, almost had one of his own there. Keith Kincaid the stop, Rick Jenneret in the call, and the save of the game brought to you by Geico, Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Welcome back here to 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colziel, 5-1 Sabres. Roll the Devils, big second period. And while we wait for Phil Housley, let's get the highlights in from period two with Rick Jenneret in the call. A lot of goals. 1:39, the first one comes as Jeff Skinner with a laser shot. All right, we're going to hold up on the highlights because Phil Housley is coming to the podium. Let's take you there live for the coach's post-game comments.
Phil, Bill, nice to see. Why did you have 14 players get on the scoreboard in the second period for you? That had to be nice.
Well, it was good. I really liked the way our group played tonight. It was a total team effort. Even when we got down one early there, I thought we really controlled the period. We had a shot mentality. And then it was good to see we got five goals in the second. Good to see Skinner score a big goal for us again to get us started. But it was good to see other contributions, especially by our D. Get a big shorthanded goal and some guys that scored their first NHL goal. So all those things point to success. And I liked how we played the third period, just sort of managed the game. And again, our penalty kill did a terrific job.
How important is that for guys like Smith and Pilot to get on the board for the first time in their careers?
I just, you know, I think when you play a team game, there's going to be guys that that contribute offensively when you win. It doesn't really matter who it is on our team, but it's great to see them get their first goal. You know, I think it's going to help their confidence as we move forward.
Were you looking for balance when you move Sam with Evan and Connor?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, Tage has played some really good hockey. And, again, tonight he had some really good looks. And just trying to balance it out, you know, with Sam getting back into the lineup. He's played with Shearer before earlier in the season. And Roger did a really good job tonight for us.
CJ came out flying. Just what did you see from him tonight?
I just think he attacked the game. You know, I think everybody was in attack mode and paying attention to detail. When the puck got turned over, they're one of those teams that a possession change in the offensive zone, they're getting out to attack. But I just liked he was poised, he was composed. You know, he found a way to get that one by Kincaid, and it was a big goal, second goal of the game, and it's good to see him contribute.
McCabe blocks the shot shorthanded. He was going to go to the bench, and then he noticed there was a two-on-one. Do you like the recognition there where he gets his head up and sees what's ahead of him?
Well, I mean, he was at the end of his shift, too, and he was gassed, and he just dug down and grinded it out. I know him coming up the ice. He was pushing it pretty hard there, and you know, Roger made a really good play on that, and it's good to see him finish it off.
You drop a simple game. Is this exactly what you have in mind?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly like this team is very good in the neutral zone, and they're checking, and it was just a straight line going north mindset tonight. I think our guys really did a good job of that, just managing that area. When we did get pucks behind them, everybody was getting up the ice, even our D to slam the walls to keep pucks in the offensive zone. But simplicity in our game was really important tonight.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. A happy head coach, Phil Housley, after the 5-1 victory. His comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 5-1, Sabres victorious over the Devils. We're back here at 716. Brian Colzio with you here on the postgame. Now we will get to the highlights. We go right to the second period. New Jersey up 1-0, and here comes the barrage of goals. The first one for the Sabres. Jeff Skinner is 29th of the year.
Nipped in over the line to Skinner. Skinner going wide. Takes his shot. Goal! That's why Jeff Skinner is the big gun. He had virtually no room to put it in. He found it up. It's 1-1.
Skinner's 29th from Thompson. A lot of speed and then a laser shot up high. 1-1 is the score at that point. A few minutes later, Buffalo getting their lead for the first time, courtesy of C.J. Smith.
Buffalo breaking it up, getting it up on the wing, and spun through center ice, picked up by C.J. Smith. He's in over the line, takes his shot, he scores! No goal! Wait a minute, they're going to have to look at this one. Did it make it all the way across the line into the net? Yep. Well, as I was so rudely interrupted, he scores!
He did score. Smith with his first as the puck trickled in. It was reviewed, and it was a goal. Larson Oposo assisting for Smith, his first career goal, and it's a game winner. We'll make it the big moment of the game tonight. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. So Smith gets his first, 2-1 Buffalo. About 6 minutes later, Casey Mittelstadt goes hard to the net.
Back comes Dahlin. To Bogosian on the other side. Mittelstadt in over the line. Backhand right on rebound. He scores! Casey Mittelstadt made everything happen on that play, and Buffalo has a 3-1 lead.
Of period two, Mittelstadt sixth, Bogosian and Dahlin assisting. 3-1 Buffalo. Mittelstadt, a real nice shake and bake move to the middle, and then he follows up his own shot. That's the skill that people are expecting from Mittelstadt on display right there. A 3-1 Buffalo lead. At this point, the Devils make a push and put on some pressure. Carter Hutton, I know on a night when Buffalo scores five, he's not going to get a lot of talk, but he made some good saves in this time while Buffalo had a 3-1 lead, including some of them on the New Jersey power play. And while the Devils are on the power play, back comes Buffalo shorthanded. It's Rodriguez setting up McCabe.
Butcher's got it again. Butcher, Palmieri. Palmieri drills his shot, blocked and taken away by Buffalo. And now a pass coming up the middle, and a 2-on-1 for Buffalo. Coming back in over the line. Here's a chance for a pass on the set. They score! Jake McCabe takes a pass on a great play. And the Buffalo Sabres shorthanded have a 4-1 lead.
Period. McCabe gets his third. Rodriguez and Sobotka assisting on the shorthanded goal. Real good communication there. Paul mentioned it there as he was at talking to Phil Housley. McCabe blocks the shot on his way to the bench, sees the play developing, jumps back in. Rodriguez waits. Real good patience on the pass, fakes the shot, then makes the move, and McCabe puts it in the empty net for his third of the year. 4-1 Buffalo, and then Lawrence Pilot. He gets his first career goal to put Buffalo up 5-1.
Back it comes to Pilot again. Take the long shot. Scores! Pilot ripped that one from the point. It may have been deflected in front, but Buffalo has taken a 5-1 lead.
Pilot's first career goal. Sherry and Ristolainen assisting at 17:45. A monster second period for Buffalo. They lead it 5-1. All five goals coming in period two. No scoring in the third. It ends up a 5-1 final. All your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Final stats tonight. Shots in the third period were 7-7, but the Sabres up 5-1 at that point. Can't be too upset about whatever happened there. 33-21, Buffalo has the edge there overall in the game. Power plays. Sabres only had one crack at it. That was late in the third. Sabres 0-1. The Devils 0-4, and the special teams edge not only going to Buffalo there, but they also pick up a shorthanded goal. That was McCabe's. In net, Carter Hutton the win, 21 shots, 20 saves. Keith Kincaid takes the loss, 33 shots. He made 28 saves. Your three stars all from Buffalo. Tage Thompson, he was excellent tonight. Had an assist, a couple of good scoring opportunities. He was star number three. Pilot, first career goal, star number two. And C.J. Smith, he gets his first career goal and the game winner. C.J. Smith, Lawrence Pilot, they both get their first career goals. We'll make them co-high-impact players of the game tonight. Brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at KeyBank Center, 18,212. And the Sabres will next play Friday night in Carolina. That game is at 7:30. We mentioned Tage Thompson. He was star number three tonight. I thought he was very good. Played up on the top line with Skinner and Sobotka. Well, tonight, I don't know if you'd call it the top line, but playing with Skinner, probably would assume to put that label on there. Very noticeable. Head scoring opportunities set up Skinner for that first Buffalo goal. And also, I thought, was very physical. Led all players in the game with six shots and also had three hits in the game, too. So, Tage Thompson there, pretty good overall in this one. But in terms of hits, Ristolainen the most on the team. He had four. Rasmus Ristolainen and his four hits. Those are the decks of the game. Brought to you by Seneca Poker. Inside the Seneca Niagara Casino. The real deal for winners only. 5-1 Buffalo. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. 803-0550. Pat will rejoin me. We'll get his thoughts on the game. Get a check of the night in the NHL and update you on the standings. But the Sabres get two more points in the standings tonight, a 5-1 victory. We'll be back here from 716 on the Paul William Belts postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. 5-1 Buffalo over New Jersey. We welcome you back here to 716. Celebratory mood. Sabre fans happy with this one tonight. A very, very nice second period to watch. Buffalo scoring five. The last time the Sabres had five in a period, last year, March 31st, in Nashville. The last time they did it in this building, you got to go back 10 years, November 28th, 2009, against Carolina. So it's been a while in this building as the Sabres get five tonight, all in period two in the 5-1 victory. Pat Malacaro is now with me here now. Pat, that second period was a lot of fun.
It was. That 09 season, 09-10 season, last time the Sabres won the division.
That's right. I don't think they're going to win the division this year.
No, but if you make the playoffs, then that's
it'll
progress.
Feel like it, yeah, compared to where this team was.
I'm
not insulting Buffalo by saying it. I'm just watching what Tampa is doing.
Yeah. I mean, look, if the Sabres make the playoffs, they go from being the worst team in the league to being in the playoffs the next year. I think that's progress.
Oh, no
I think
doubt.
Just being in the conversation right now, this team has made progress. And sure, there are holes, and sure, there's things the GM and the coach have to fix from now until the end of the season. But I don't think anybody can sit here and say that the team is not better than they off when where they were last year.
That's right. Let's get to our Sabres core group feature now. How did the core group perform? Well, Eichel, we know, didn't play. Reinhardt was a game-time decision, was active, but he was actually one of only the four players that didn't get a point in the game.
However, he was very important to Lawrence Pilot scoring his goal. He sets himself up in front of the net. He gets cross-checked in the back.
Yep,
and
great screen.
And Kincaid doesn't know what's going on in front of him. He's screened, and he's, you know, paying attention to that. So even though he doesn't get a point, he was very important to that goal.
And, of course, the future core here, or present, however you want to label it, Casey Mittelstadt getting a goal. And maybe these younger players, Pilot, C.J. Smith, these guys will be a part of the core. They contribute with first career goals tonight.
And the thing for Casey Mittelstadt, we see him play in between the faceoff dots, not on the outside of it. You know, yep. Paul talks a lot about guys playing to the perimeter. Sure, there might be times where Mittelstadt plays around there, but for the most part, he is right down the middle. And that's exactly what he did on his goal, to weave through the defense and on a third try get the score. So maybe that's the catalyst that gets him going, and maybe he scores a couple of, you know, goals in a bunch for here while the Sabres really need some secondary scoring.
That's right. Dahlin, an assist. So Thompson in there as well. I thought Thompson was excellent tonight. Sabres core group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving for your next move. Count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. All right, before Pat updates us on the full night in the NHL, let's grab some calls here at 803-0550. Mike in Alden is with us first. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I was just wondering, do you think this could spark some secondary scoring?
Thanks, Mike. I think tonight, I mean, this is about the as definition of secondary scoring as you could get. One thing that I think Pat Housley mentioned, I think, is a worthy point. If you remember during the 10-game winning streak, of course, everything was going in. But the defense were contributing, too.
Yes,
there was secondary scoring, but part of it is coming from the defense. The Sabres, lines 3 and 4, they're not going to put up impressive goal-scoring numbers. I just don't think either right now, either their age and their development or just the type of players they are, they're going to just be lighting the lamp all the time. But the defense and this new group of the defense, Pilot, offensive-minded, McCabe, we know when he wants to join, can be
a healthy Zach Bogosian.
And Dahlin.
Yes.
So if, and Ristolainen, we know, always is involved, usually offensively in some capacity. But when they're contributing, I feel like that is almost just as important as the third and fourth lines contributing with goals to make up what is our definition of secondary scoring.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to talk about the difference between night and day from last year to this year. It took till December to get a goal out of the defense last year. The defense is, you know, right, as you point out, and as Phil Housley points out, that's one of the reasons why the team went on such a successful run, not only because of what they did in front of Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark to make it easier on them, but their secondary scoring and their ability to get points and, you know, help push the play up the ice. That's one thing that this team is doing very well when they're playing well, is getting the puck out of their zone, moving it to the neutral zone, and carrying the play, pushing it to the other team. And, yeah, you can't help but notice that this team is more offensive-minded than it was last year.
That's right. 5-1 Sabres over New Jersey. Next, we go to Brian is with us. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say not only did one goalie play well, Ullmark, over the last couple games, but so has Hudson tonight. And if they go 1-2, it doesn't matter who's 1, who's 1-2, but they both have to play really well if they do get to the playoffs, and likely they will. but I would rather see if they did play a team as an 8 seed, I'd rather go against Washington, because if you beat the Stanley Cup champs, then we know it.
Thank you, Brian. Now, listen, I don't know if anybody can be, if you can be that picky about opponents, but I like that you're looking ahead. We were discussing the goaltending play and maybe what the calendar might look like these next 2 weeks, but I like Paul's point that he made in the second period, Pat, and then you kind of reiterated it to me when I was talking about the goals. Don't forget that moment when New Jersey's on the power play, middle of the second. It's 3-1. Sabres feel like they're trying to get total control,
right,
but the Devils give that push, and Hutton was big in that spot.
He was, and look, has Carter Hutton maybe played his best hockey of the season over his last couple of starts? Maybe not, because he played so well at the start of the year, and he was one of the reasons that the Sabres were winning early and went out west and won so many games. But that's a big, important moment in the night, and I don't think that can, you know, when you look back at the game, it might not seem like it because the Sabres end up scoring five, but they scored two goals after that big sequence there, including the shorthanded goal. So I think Hutton deserves a lot of credit for helping out, and it's a total team win now when you look back at it.
No doubt. Everybody contributes. 14 different players on the score sheet. Hutton, some big saves there in that key spot, all part of a 5-1 victory. All right, so Buffalo up to 52 points. Where does that put them in the East? Well, we'll check the standings here in a minute. Let's first check how all the rest of their teams did here. One more look around the league with Pat.
Yeah, some good news, bad news as we take a look at the scoreboard. The Bruins maintain their two-point edge over the Sabres as Tuukka Rask makes 24 saves for the Bruins' 4-0 win over the Wild tonight. However, the Islanders lose a little bit of ground. Hurricanes 4-3 winners in New York tonight. Carolina's won 6 of their last 8, by the way, 45 points on the year. Montreal picks up the win 3-2, so they stay a point behind the Sabres. Buffalo 52, Montreal 51. Lightning 4-0 winners over the Blue Jackets. Columbus stays at 51, while the Penguins 5-1 winners over the Panthers. Games ongoing. Actually, one other final to tell you about before that. Capitals 5-3 winners over the Flyers. Late in the third period, starts with a 3-2 lead over St. Louis. David Perron scoring for the Blues. Tyler Seguin, his 16th and 17th of the year for the Stars in a leading effort so far. And the Jets doubling up the Avalanche. 6-3, just underway, no score, 6 minutes in. Golden Knights and the Rangers. Also, local college basketball, as the route was on at Alumni Arena. UB, number 19 in the country, score a big win. 110-80 over Toledo tonight. Also, Canisius falls to Brown, 97-90. As we look at UB, they're 2-0 in the MAC, 14-1 overall, top 20 team in the country. So UB continues to roll. Also, a couple notes from the NFL, as the Buccaneers have named Bruce Arians their head coach. The Cardinals signed Cliff Kingsbury to be their next head man. And also, it looks like Dirk Cutter is going back to the Falcons.
That's right, to be one of their coordinators there. Yeah, for UB, Jeremy Harris had a career-high 34 tonight. So, you know, Massenburg gets his points. Perkins gets his points. We've seen Graves do it. We've seen Jordan along the
way. They're good inside. They're good outside. Tell me where they have a fault.
That's right. No, they've and Harris, who was one of the best three-point shooters in the country last year, has been kind of quiet from that percentage-wise to start the year, but tonight had a very, very good game. They're home again Saturday at noon against Miami.
I'm sure it'll be packed.
Yeah, it was packed again tonight from some of the reports that I saw and people that had been there. And, yeah, Harris is getting it going. That team at home, is, I think they won 17, something like that, high teens in a row at Alumni Arena. So, yeah, if you haven't seen UB, they're home again Saturday at noon. Chance for you to do double dip, which I'm going to do on Saturday.
There you go.
UB is at home at noon. Sabres are at home at 7 against Tampa.
Our pregame's not till 6.
That's right. So I'll be going to both. Looking forward to that. Speaking of Tampa, they are red hot. Also, are the Sabres' next opponent. The next two opponents are hot. Hurricanes are Friday in Raleigh and then Saturday home here for Tampa. As good as the Lightning has been, you've got Carolina who's won 5 in a row. So you'll see. Now, do they play? Does Carolina have a game in between now and Friday? I know they don't play tomorrow. I don't know if they play again on Thursday. They could with the fact, I guess, that they're home. But we'll see.
They do play Tampa Bay two nights from now.
So Thursday it's Tampa
in Tampa.
Carolina. Wow.
So the Hurricanes will be on a back-to-back.
I'm guessing Phil Housley will be watching that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good scouting to get both your teams right there. All right, so the standings now in terms of where Buffalo sits, we said with that win, the Buffalo now improving to 52 points. But as Pat mentioned, the Bruins win, so they go back two in front of Buffalo with 54. Toronto sitting there with 56, but a game in hand the Leafs have there. Montreal loses. They have 51. And then if you're looking at the teams in the metros that are involved right now, Columbus loses. They have 51. The Islanders lose. They have 50. So
Montreal won to stay 1 point behind Buffalo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Montreal won. Thank you for correcting that. That's right. They won. A lot more teams now I got to keep track of.
Right. And Carolina picking up 10 points in a row. Vault themselves up from...
They're kind of in the mix now.
Right. They're trying to be in the conversation.
Right. Hey, they beat Buffalo. And they're five back of Buffalo. They could be around. They could be a story.
Yeah, that's why a win Friday for the Sabres would be good to... You know, push Carolina back a little bit, depending on how Thursday goes.
More important versus meaningful, the Saturday win, if you beat Tampa, would feel better because of just, you know, they're the best in the league, in my opinion. But importance in the standings, the Friday game is maybe the more important one.
Yeah, you're looking at double digits at minimum. Could be 16, could be 18. Going into Saturday night, could be 14, depending how things go. It's 16 points right now. Tampa has 68. Far and away the most in the NHL. Seems like since they played Buffalo in Tampa, after Buffalo
had the 10-game win streak snap there, yeah,
they have just been on fire, and they're not slowing down anytime soon. I mean, they're 8-1-1. They've gotten 9 points in 9 of their last 10 games.
Yeah.
They're just rolling.
Yeah, they're a machine, no doubt. And Vasilevskiy's back.
Right.
Great. Kucherov scores like every night. His points been great. Stamkos is still there.
Their defense is great.
Yep, that's the team to beat. There's no doubt about it. All right, Pat, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, before we go, don't go anywhere. Jason Bottrell joined our Chopin the Bulldog earlier today on our flagship on WGR. And some good stuff if you missed it. He talks about the World Juniors, a lot of the Sabre players involved in some of the medal action. So he'll talk about that. And, of course, the secondary scoring thing that went well tonight. He'll talk about maybe... some of his thoughts on what he likes, what he may be thinking about in terms of maybe is he going to make moves. So some good discussion here as the Sabres win tonight 5-1 over the New Jersey Devils. Before we leave you here from 716, let's hear a little bit from this afternoon. Here's the Sabres general manager, Jason Bottrell.
Hi, Jason.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We were watching hockey today that we did not know existed when we walked in here today, the Champions Hockey League. Just like soccer, right? Top teams from Europe. You're familiar?
Yep, without a doubt.
And Rob Ray came over and like, Rob, look, it's the Champions Hockey League. And he's like, look at that ice. Not the ads. You know, you could also say that, but the size of the ice. What do you think about that? When you were playing, there was a lot of debate, as I remember it, about whether that would fix the NHL, right? That would improve the NHL quality. What have been your opinions about that over time?
No, I think the ice surface we have right now, it's the speed of the game, the intensity of the game, and it's what's so difficult for amateur scouts to evaluate players over there, especially defensemen, just how quickly the guys get in on the forecheck. And I think that's one of the things that you're just so amazed with Dahlin making the switch from the big ice over here to North American ice. How quickly he's adjusted to that and feeling the pressure and just making that pass that much quicker.
Yeah, I like that point. So it's a challenge. You have to translate that somehow.
Oh, without a doubt.
Experience.
Without a doubt. But, no, I think we have it right over here in North America. You know, you look at the IIHF presidents talked a little bit about maybe the Olympics in Europe for World Championships, utilizing North American ice more in the future. I just think the way we're calling the game now, allowing a little bit more of the skill of the players to show off their talents out there, it's the right size for sure.
What did Rob say? Like, he said something about defensemen in the corners.
Yeah, you can avoid a lot of traffic in the corner. There's just so much more depth in there. I think it's really different for goaltenders because the angles players come out of those corners at really change like how they want to make plays on the post and all that too.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
How did you find the World Juniors? Like, what did you take away? You had players, you had a handful of players there, and of course, a couple of them ultimately won gold.
No, obviously, being a patriotic Canadian, it was disappointing for us being knocked out in the quarterfinals there. But overall, I thought it was an outstanding tournament, and you always enjoy watching that tournament. And for us, we had four players there. The fact that Picard made the Czech team was a huge step for him. I thought Samuelson played very steady on the U.S. team and just as was a good player for them as 18-year-old. We really think he's going to be one of their leaders next year. And then you had Laaksonen and Luukkonen step up for the gold medal winning Finns. And, you know, especially Luukkonen, he had a disappointing tournament here last year in Buffalo. Taking the step to leave Finland, come over and play in the OHL in Sudbury, having a good first half, and then carrying that right into the World Juniors. Very proud of him and what he's accomplished so far this year.
So what are the emotions like for the general manager of the team that owns Lukanen's rights? He's playing for Finland. It's Canada. It's the quarterfinals, and it's a penalty shot in overtime. Is it, well, whatever happens here, I'm happy? Or, like, what do you do there?
Let's see. You wanted Luukkonen to stop that penalty shot for sure, without a doubt. And end of regulation, it was 1-0 Canada. I thought that was probably going to be the perfect way. You know, our goalie lets in one, Canada
right.
moves on, all good. But I was very impressed with the Finns in general. I thought they played, they got better throughout the tournament. And not even having, hey, all teams don't have all their top players. Some of them are in the National Hockey League. But with them not having guys like Heiskanen, who's down in Dallas right now, or Vesalainen, who Winnipeg's former first-round pick, they did a, or Kokiemi
right,
in Montreal
stuff. Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. And they got some a couple talented players for this year's draft and for next year already out there. So it's impressive for a country that small, the amount of talent that they're producing.
I know, like, there's bounces. But, like, that tying goal. I mean, do you ever... Does your job ever allow you to, like, think, oh, this sport is absurd? Like, it's off the back of the net and then off the guy's shin pad and off the paddle, and it barely trickles into the net.
Barely
and it's a tie
in.
Game, and, like, you're going home.
And in overtime, Canada has a great opportunity to win it all and a broken stick.
Right.
And then they come right back down, and Finland scores. So it's obviously, you know, we talk about that in the National Hockey League so much, the difference between winning and losing. There's so much parity going on, and in a short tournament like that where you're not playing best-of-seven playoff rounds, it's one and a game and gone. But, you know, you looked at that Finland-Canada game, great goaltending on both sides. Same thing in the gold medal game for USA versus Finland. Amazing goaltending. And it was impressive to see young kids step up in those situations.
I have one last thing on this, and it's just wondering about what kind of reception Luukkonen gets back in Sudbury. Like, I'm sure they've enjoyed him. He's had a great year there for him, for
yep.
them. But he beat Canada. Like, is that...
He beat Canada, but I think they're very proud of what he's accomplished. And now they're looking forward to having a good run there in the
right.
second half for sure, too.
Talking bounces, I mean, that field goal in Chicago as well. I mean, it's not just hockey
right.
where there are bounces. I like that answer about your emotions because, like, that was a real answer to that. Like, this is what you thought was appropriate for that. And it reminds me, or it sets me up for a question I can ask Bulldog in 3 years when his son is playing for the Flyers, what he wants to have happen. What he wants to have happen when the Flyers are in town.
It's going to be a lot longer than that if he ever gets there.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Now, you have Luukkonen and
yep.
all that he's accomplished. What is it to track a goalie who's years away, or any player, but especially goalies, I think, because you have so few on the team?
Yep.
What is it to track that and make plans in your organization?
Well, you're trying to stockpile as many talented players as you can, and especially in that role. And, you work with these guys. Seamus Kotelek, our goaltending development coach, does a great job of getting out there. Whether Luukkonen's in Finland or in Sudbury, he's working with the goalie coaches there, trying to improve his skill out there. And then, especially with the goaltender, it's a long route. And you know, he's going to turn pro next year, but he's going to have some difficult moments and stuff. And I think, especially now in this world of social media, where some of these top prospect goalies. Every mistake they make or every goal they let in is sort of blasted everywhere. It's difficult, and it's impressive. You need to have a goalie that has that mental strength, not only physical talent, but that mental strength to rebound, and that's what we really like from Luukkonen. You know, it was a disappointing World Juniors last year for his country. The fact that he was able to sort of put that aside, reevaluate how he went about, you know, where he was playing and his style a little bit, and then reap the rewards of having a great World Juniors this year.
What led to the decision to him end up in Sudbury? I imagine
yep.
that was something you were consulted about.
Yeah, certainly. We worked with him closely on that, and it's a tough spot over in Finland right now. Like, he'd play a little bit in their Division 1 over there, but their team there is not all about development. It's about winning hockey games there, too. So then you get pushed down to junior, and he's certainly better than junior. And then if it's the American Hockey League equivalent there,
right.
It's not a great league. So you sort of, you're right in that spot where you want him to be playing games. Now, in a couple of years, yeah, he certainly could play Division I in Finland and be a go-to player. But we just felt it was important for him to play against his own age group, make sure he gets a lot of games.
Right.
And, you know, as difficult as it is to come all the way from Finland to Sudbury, he was up for it, and it's turned out very well for him.
Jason Botterill with us. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog at 716 on WGR. Maybe the last question we asked you the last time you were with us, like, what do you want to see get better? Because
yep.
The record was great. If I remember right, you talked about depth
yep.
At forward. And I don't know if that's changed too much here. And now you've lost Eichel for a series of games. What do you think or feel here? Like, do you think you're on the verge of what you want there, or are you concerned? What?
Well, look, every general manager wants more depth, and but it's what's different probably from our team right now compared to the true elite teams, whether it's a Washington or a Tampa Bay right now. We, especially when a player like Jack's talent level is out of our lineup, we just don't have that supply there yet at forward. And we are very excited about some of our young players that we have on the team right now and that we have in Rochester, but it's still a situation where they're not ready for to sort of take on that responsibility of being go-to guys to create offense. And it's a situation where we're going to have to try to find ways to be more by committee, find ways to get to the net. And I think you saw that in the game against Florida. That was a perfect way of how do you win a game without your star player. We obviously, Jeff Skinner, Sam Reinhart, our talented players that's still in lineup, created chances out there. Then you have sort of depth scoring, creating opportunities and stuff. But, you know, you're always wanting to find more players, more skill for your team. I think if you look at us compared to last year, we've improved our skill level, we've improved our speed. But for us to still get to the top end teams in the Eastern Conference, we still have a ways to go there.
Do you feel any internal pressure? Is there, I don't know, does Terry Pegula come to you and say, like, you got to do something, Jason. We need, not just because Eichel's hurt, he'll be back soon enough.
Yep.
We can't wait for Casey Mittelstadt to become a 50-point player. Let's do something. Like, no. Does that happen here at all?
No, he's very supportive of our situation here and understands what we're going through. And, you know, the key to our success here is developing our young players right now. And, look, we're always looking to add pieces and add scoring if we can. But if you start trading away draft picks, if you start trading away young players to get scoring for right now, we're going to have the same issues a year from now or 2 years from now. So it's finding that balance there.
One thing I wanted to ask you about is this term now I hear more and more often, low event or high event hockey. Is it shots or chances, or maybe it could be either? The total in your games for and against compared with other teams. The Sabres this year have been on the low end of that. And I've heard it said or read it also from maybe more analytics guys that if you have a team where the goaltending is good, this is also logical.
Yep.
You have a team where the goaltending is good and you have high-end shooters, then you want to be more of a high-event team. So I'm thinking, I'm walking in here today with that thought in mind. I look at the stats, and you've got five players with double-digit shooting percentage, not including Jack Eichel, who's at 9.1. And, again, the elite teams are into the double digits as far as that goes. What's the bottom line here? Is the level of events in your games, so to speak, acceptable to you?
Look, it's... You know, it's part of the reason why we brought in a player like Jeff Skinner. Mm-hmm. You look at his track record, he's always going to create chances. He's always going to create opportunities out there. Obviously, his shooting percentage this year has really drastically increased, and it's resulted in more goals. But what's intrigued us of trying to create a longer-term relationship with him is that we know the goals are going to come and go, but he's always going to be creating those chances. Same thing with a Connor Sheary out there. And you look at our two special teams, they're interesting to watch. I think we've created... You look at a lot of the analytics, we're doing a pretty good job on our power play, but we haven't got results. Same thing on our penalty killer. We're getting a lot of opportunity. We're getting the results there, but some of the numbers, you can equate a lot to goaltending right now. So it's just trying to find more of a balance from all that aspect. And there's, as we talked about it earlier, so much parity in the league. In November, we're finding ways to win those one-goal games. Right now, we're struggling to find ways to win those games. And I think over the last couple of weeks, it's not as if we've been playing poorly, mm-hmm. but in key times of the games, we haven't found that opportunity to get the net a little bit more, to find a way to create more opportunities out there, to find a way to get that goal, to get us the win versus, say, an OT loss or a loss in regulation.
Understood. But I'm not hearing here, like, would you... do you envision either for this team or just in general, Jason, for your personal preference, a team that does generate more and maybe takes more chances? I want to make sure I translate this into the right terms, you know, like more faster pace or run and gun, anything like that. Is there a better or worse way as you see it?
Well, I think when I took the job and what Phil came on to and why I wanted to have him a part of our head coach here is that you're always trying to create opportunities up there. And the only way you're creating opportunities is that you're having your team get up with the play. You're having your defense join the rush. And I think, you know, you see that with Dahlin, why he's been so effective with us is that first pass, but then joining the rush. And the fact that we have players such as Bogosian and McCabe healthy this year, they can get up with the play and create more chances there. And, you know, look, it's why we went out and got a player like Skinner. We wanted to create more chances, more creativity out there. And, you know, I think we've done a better job. We've gotten solid goaltending. You always certainly want to, I think Phil's talked about this a lot this year. We still want to be a solid defensive team, but one of the best ways to play defense is to have the puck all the time, is to be creating chances in the offensive zone.
Carlson. Right. Very good.
There's Sabres general manager Jason Botterill. Some good stuff there on the World Juniors and some thoughts going forward on possibly maybe making some moves to improve the team. Well, our next chance to see the team, Friday night. Sabres are in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. 7:30 puck drop. We'll have pregame at 6:30. You'll hear it live right here on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. So a good one tonight for Buffalo. They beat New Jersey as that puts a wrap here from 716 on our Paul William Belts postgame show. Want to thank our crew back in our Amherst studios, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Mike Jafari on our social media, our crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton, our reporter in the room, our pregame show hosts were Mike Schopa, the Bulldog, and our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Again, the final from downtown Buffalo. It was the Sabres 5 and the Devils 1. We'll talk to you Friday night with the Sabres and the Hurricanes right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.